Please open your Bibles to John chapter 6, first of all verses 29 through 36, and then verses 47 through 58. I will read to you from the New International Translation of the Word of God, but I do encourage you to follow through the reading with whatever translation of the Scripture that you have before you. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said unto them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But, as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe." Now verse 47 through to 58. "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But there is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Our forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." We will be looking to that passage of Scripture in a moment or two for divine instruction. But let us unite our voices together now as we sing the hymn number 90, "Break Thou the Bread of Life, Dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst break the loaves beside the sea."
The bread of life.
In the eastern countries of that day, bread undoubtedly was the principal food for the people. And we could say here in this land that many years ago, bread was perhaps one of the most important things that kept us alive. I can remember as a child growing up in the 30s, having bread and milk and bread, and living on bread and dripping, pepper and salt. I hope we never return to those days. I hope you never see them as young people. But some of us remember vividly that bread was essential to living. And bread was essential to living in the East when our Lord was here on earth. But the scripture that we have here before us tonight is not speaking of the material bread which satisfies physical hunger, but speaks of the heavenly bread which satisfies the spiritual hunger. And no matter where you travel, no matter where you go in this world, man, woman, young person is hungering for something spiritual. When I was in one of the churches that I pastored in Sydney at Bondi Junction, I came in touch with all of the modern movements of that day in the early 70s. The Children of God, Scientology, the Mooney people. And I was impressed with the fact that many young people were following the Children of God. Many young people were following Scientology because they were hungering for something spiritual. And yet here in the Bible we see very clearly that the Lord Jesus tells us that the heavenly bread supplies spiritual life. Our Lord said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. But I want to take a moment or two tonight to look at some great truths. For indeed, in order to become the bread of life to men and women and young people who are spiritually dead, that is, until they are born again, until they become a new creature in Christ, our Lord Jesus had to go through a process in order to be the bread of life that would bring spiritual satisfaction and spiritual life. The Bible says that he was bruised for us. He was indeed the grain, if you like, that was bruised. I used to make a lot of bush dampers once in the old camp oven. And many of us who have made a damper or bread, we realize that before bread can be made, the grain has to be crushed. And we have to have the flour that comes from the grain. And in the old days when we made bread, the grain which had been crushed into flour would be mixed and would be put in an kneading trough, and all kinds of things were done. This is how it begins. The grain is crushed. And here we have a vivid picture of the suffering through which our Lord Jesus had to go before he could provide spiritual nutrition for you and for me. And the prophet Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was not only bruised, but if you understand the teaching of Leviticus chapter 2, and it talks about the grain offering, and in that chapter we're told that our Lord symbolically was the meal offering baked in the oven. Now many people would be horrified when a preacher says our Lord Jesus Christ was not only bruised, but he was baked in an oven. We're fast approaching Easter. And as we come to Calvary, what transpired in the darkness of that oven of God's holy wrath will never be understood by the finite mind of man. All we know is that it was in the heat of that indescribable experience that the Son of God cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever thought of Calvary as being like a furnace, ablaze with the heat of the world, ablaze with the sin of man? For it was there at Calvary that our Lord Jesus tasted hell for all of us here tonight. And the heat, that intense heat, was so hot as if it would bake the human body. But he was also broken for us. Speaking of his death, our Lord could say through the Apostle Paul, this is my body which is broken for you. And being bruised, being baked in the intense heat of sin, and broken for us, the Lord Jesus Christ became the bread of life. He could say, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I want to encourage you tonight by faith to look up into the lovely face of the Lord Jesus right now and say to him, Lord Jesus, I thank you for being bruised and being broken for me. And right now I receive you as the bread of life. He, the bread of life, supplies spiritual life. But he, the heavenly bread, also sustains our spiritual life. Our Lord said, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now while the supply of life is communicated the moment the sinner appropriates Christ as the bread of life, this new life grows and develops only as the believer continues to feed upon Christ. It is interesting to notice that the Lord Jesus intends us to feed on him, even as he fed on the Father. Listen to these words again. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now, how did the Lord Jesus Christ live by the Father? The Bible teaches me that he did this by feeding on the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus answered Satan's attack in the wilderness, he revealed a method by which he sustained his own spiritual life. Let us take a moment to recall his words. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, our Lord was teaching that material bread is not sufficient. And I believe that man, woman, young person must feed constantly on the bread which comes from God if their spiritual life is to be sustained. You see, it's a great thing to begin with the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to be born again. It's a wonderful thing to know the peace of God in your own heart. I don't know of any more excitable joy than that. But one great lesson we have to learn as Christians is the art of being sustained in our spiritual life. And the prophet Jeremiah undoubtedly knew something of this great experience when he said, thy words are found, and I did eat them, and thy word was in me, the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Our Lord Jesus constantly fed himself on the word of God. He also fed himself on the will of God. Our Lord said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And as our Lord fulfilled the divine will, so his soul was fed by his heavenly Father. And similarly for us, to fulfill God's will in everything is to prove the sustained and sustaining quality of the bread of life. We need to feed ourselves on the bread every day. He was not only feeding on the Word of God, he was not only feeding on the will of God, but he was feeding on the work of God. He said, my meat is to finish his work. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ worked to an hourly program. He was never ahead of his time, and he was never behind it. And each day's work was carefully planned and thoroughly done. In fact, on one occasion, and you will read it in John's Gospel, his respected mother suggested he perform a miracle before the appointed moment. And he said to her, mine hour is not yet come. He worked to a timetable. He worked to a program. He did this because his life was disciplined. His life was under authority. And may I say that when we become Christians, when we become born again, we are bought with a price. We belong to him. We must live a disciplined life, and we are under his divine authority. We cannot do our own thing. As Christians, we cannot do our own thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ worked to an hourly program. And as he did each day's work, so he found the very doing of his task for God food for his soul. And eating of Christ day by day as we share the word, as we meditate upon the bread of life, involves study and meditation on the Word, dedication to his will, and consecration to his work. Now we must also realize that heavenly bread not only sustains us, but the heavenly bread in Christ Jesus, who is the bread of life, satisfies spiritual life. I have met many people who are running to and fro. They're running here, they're running there. They're looking for satisfaction spiritually. And they have become so exhausted that they have no more energy to run. Listen to our Lord again when he says, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You don't have to run anywhere. All you need to do is to come to Christ. We are told by great scholars and many who are interested in the research of man that man's deepest hunger is spiritual. I remember when I was going through college, I had a great desire to study anthropology. That's the science of man, who we are and what we're made of. And I learned through that study that man is basically spiritual. He's hungry for spiritual things. And whether or not he knows it, he hungers for God. He hungers also for truth, and he hungers for life. Now, whatever else a person has in this world, they will never be satisfied until they find the answer to this threefold spiritual hunger. You see, material things can never satisfy. I remember when we became Christians, my wife and I had everything and owned nothing. It was all on the never-never plan. But I had it. Nice home, big home. Had a motor car that was a 1928 Nash. Had it jucoed up like Al Capone's car. Material things all around. But they didn't satisfy. And I've had many, many people throughout this land come and share with me. I remember one man at Broken Hill who came to me on one occasion when I was there, and he sat in the backyard of the Manson. He just wept. He drove up to the Manson, his Mercedes. He had plenty of money. He had a beautiful home. And he broke down and cried. He said, I'm empty. He said, I'm lonely. He said, I don't know what's wrong. He said, talk with me. He said, my mother had the answer. And when I was there for a previous crusade, I had the privilege of burying his dear mum, who was a lovely, committed Christian. And this man said, my mother had the answer. And so I said to him, you come back tomorrow, and we'll talk more. He came back the next day and knelt in the backyard of that manse and wept his way to Calvary. Material things cannot satisfy. They can never fill the soul of a person. And neither can the human soul be filled with another human soul. I cannot give you Christ. You have to discover Christ for yourself. I cannot give you the bread of life. You have to discover the bread of life for yourself. You see, the great truth about why one human soul cannot be filled with another human soul is this. One empty vessel cannot fill another empty vessel. And you know, that's a great, profound truth. And a great scholar of days gone by, Saint Augustine or Augustine, he expressed it this way. He said, thou hast made us for thyself, and our restless souls can find no rest until they find their rest in thee. But you see, the glory of the gospel message is this, that in the Lord Jesus Christ all spiritual hunger can be satisfied. And as the bread from heaven, he satisfies our hunger for God, our hunger for truth, and our hunger for life. And everyone hungers for God in one way or another. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Indeed, the hunger of God is universal. Every person has a vast capacity for God, and therefore a vast emptiness without him. But our Lord Jesus Christ answers that hunger with these remarkable words. He says, the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. There are many people tonight who are hungering for God. There are many people tonight who are hungering for truth. And our Lord said, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And it's a known fact. Psychologists will tell you this. Anthropologists will tell you this. And counselors will tell you this. That from our earliest childhood, we all hunger for truth. I've counseled many people who have been longing for truth. I remember a young man who came to me in Tasmania. He'd been adopted. And he said, I long to meet my mother, my real mother. He said, I long and I hunger for the truth of that moment that she bore me. And through the right agencies, we were able to bring that young man face to face with his own mother for half an hour. And his hunger for truth was satisfied. But the tragedy tonight is this, that instead of being satisfied with the true bread from heaven, There are thousands upon thousands tonight in this land of Australia feeding themselves upon the false bread supplied by the devil himself. Instead of feeding at the Heavenly Father's table, they attempt to fill themselves, as it were, with the husks that the swine do eat, like the prodigal son, and so ultimately they perish with hunger. It is true that only a small minority of people come to their senses. And remember, the bread enough and to spare of Luke 15, which is to be found in our Lord Jesus Christ in the home of the Heavenly Father. And true bread not only satisfies, but it feeds the mind with knowledge, the heart with happiness, and the will with liberty. Young people and older people, feed upon the bread of life. Study the Word of God, and the living bread will feed your mind with knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heart will be filled with happiness, and your will be set at liberty. Many people in their dying moments will give all the material wealth they have for an extended week, an extended month, an extended year of life. Our Lord said, "I am the bread of life," and many people tonight are hungering for life. It's a known fact that we cannot laugh, we cannot work, we cannot love unless we have life. It's a known fact that we fight for life in time of war. We defend life in peacetime. We work for life in our daily employment. We dream of life, and we eat at the mealtimes for life. And yet so many people try to be satisfied with a mere existence. If you are searching tonight for life among the world's treasures and pleasures, may I urge you to lift up your eyes to the one who holds the secret of life in all of its fullness. Listen again to his words. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Tonight, as we have opened the scriptures together, we have seen that as the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ supplies our spiritual life. He not only supplies our spiritual life, he sustains our spiritual life, and he satisfies our spiritual life. He has done his part, and now we are invited to come to him and then believe on him as the bread of life. Our Lord said, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And as the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ supplies, he sustains, and he satisfies spiritual hunger. Therefore, come to him tonight. Believe on him as you taste and see that the Lord is good, and you will go on eating and proving that Jesus Christ really satisfies. He is the bread of life that satisfies completely. May we bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We're conscious in whose presence we're bowing. Oh, our Father, illuminate our entire being this night to this divine truth, we pray. Amen. As we prepare our hearts to come to the communion table, may the hymn 140 be the earnest desire of our inner being. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. And as we're led to Calvary, the Spirit of God will illuminate our entire being and open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to he who is the bread of life.